Live from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruriak. California is a popular stop on the presidential campaign trail right now, proven again this weekend with a visit to the Bay Area from South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Add to that the ongoing analysis of Governor Gavin Newsom's revised budget announced last Thursday. And that's where we start this hour. Ken Rudin, the political junkie, will be back next week. On the phone with us is Politico reporter Carla Marinucci. She also co-writes the California Playbook. Hi, Carla. Glad to have you back on Insight.
Hey, Beth. Good to be with you.
Can we start with the bigger context of California in this presidential campaign? It's always important. And as I said, there are many candidates. But because of California's early primary, the urgency seems to be different.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are seeing these people crisscrossing California and trying to pick up cash everywhere they can. And really, this weekend, I mean, it was a traffic jam. You had Pete Buttigieg doing, I think, five events in Silicon Valley alone on Friday, and then going to San Francisco, where I caught him later that night. 1,300 people showing up, including many of Kamala Harris's supporters, people who had written checks to her. Some of her finance committee was there. I mean, it is getting very crazy.
Why was that? Why were they there, Carla?
I think he is a new kid on the block, but the fact is it's a historic candidacy, the first major party candidate who is a gay married man. That brought out people like Leslie Katz, former supervisor in San Francisco, and a member of Kamala's finance committee, who said she also donated to Buttigieg. I think the reviews that I got there were that he seems very authentic. He has a good message. He is from a red state, Indiana. And I think one of the things that we saw was his ability to really handle President Trump. He did a comeback after Trump insulted him on Friday, calling him Alfred E. Newman, the Mad Magazine icon. We took a video of his response, basically saying, look, I had to Google it. Maybe it's a generational thing. A little bit of shade on Donald Trump's age. The video got 2.5 million views in 48 hours, Beth. That tells you that this guy is getting traction. He is getting noticed by a lot of voters out there on social media after being basically a nobody in the campaign maybe 6 weeks ago.
All right. It says a lot about social media, but you also have everybody intrigued. So we're actually going to play that sound, Carla. And everybody's going to hear your voice first and then the voice of Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Okay.
Donald Trump today in an interview compared you to the Mad Magazine mascot, said Alfred E. Newman can never be president. What's your response to him?
So I'll be honest, I had to Google that. I guess it's a generational thing. I didn't get the reference. It's kind of funny, I guess, but he's also the president of the United States, and I'm surprised he's not spending more time trying to salvage this China deal.
So if you get in a spat with the president right now, you get a big bump in the news cycle, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. And I think this was kind of a defining moment for him because he was able to, you know, throw elbows at Trump. But at the same time, it was a pretty smart answer, pivoting back to an important international issue. So, we saw a lot of millennial voters there in San Francisco. We saw a lot of folks who have been very, very involved in the campaigns. And this is where California, as a playground for these candidates, is becoming really, really important. It is a place where what they do, what they say is noticed, but also they're meeting with these very big donors up and down the state. This event that Buttigieg has had was a $25 event. That is not the kind of event that Kamala Harris or any of the other candidates do. It was packed with 1,300 people, so he also is taking a little bit of a different tactic in this campaign, and that seems to be working out well for him in the polls.
I want to talk about your conversation with Governor Newsom in the California Playbook piece on Friday about the governor. But let's stay with Pete Buttigieg for a minute, because there's that phrase that you used that Buttigieg tends to be, quote, many people's second choice. And he's trying to connect with Gavin Newsom. So what's going on there?
This is fascinating. We talked to Gavin Newsom on Friday. He said he had not only read Pete Buttigieg's book, but he really wants to meet with him. I think these two are very simpatico when it comes to their outlook, their views on things. These are two intellectual, kind of millennial appeal politicians who have a lot of the same interests, and I think they definitely are intending to get together. Buttigieg told me that he's a big fan of Gavin Newsom, and his campaign is making the outreach to Newsom and wants to get this meeting together very, very soon. That has got to be giving the Kamala Harris people Tylenol headache, Beth, when you think about Gavin Newsom, you know, basically complimenting Buttigieg, saying, look, I really want to take a look at this guy, as many of Harris's people apparently are doing. So we're going to be following that meeting whenever it happens. I'd certainly like to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, but Governor Newsom already endorsed Kamala Harris. He did that early.
He did indeed, and I have to say, I think I have heard that the Harris people are a little bit torqued because he had not only nice things to say about Buttigieg, but he also sort of waxed eloquent on Joe Biden, saying, "Look, the guy has so much resonance with voters. He's got so much experience. It's going to be hard to beat him on international issues." So Newsom, yes, has endorsed Harris, and he's going to be appearing at a very big fundraiser with the Gettys. They're the host in San Francisco later this month. But he's also talking up some of the other Democratic candidates, and that's pretty interesting to watch.
So if you're a California voter, this is interesting, and the primary comes up. Why are you going to choose Kamala Harris versus Joe Biden versus Pete Buttigieg if you had a choice to pick between the three, or any others that are out there, too?
Exactly. I mean, and this is where Kamala Harris, I think, has a little bit of a challenge here. You know, her record in San Francisco as a DA and as AG, she's taking a little heat on issues like her truancy policies, getting really tough on parents and truancy. I think she's got, you know, some issues when it comes to that with progressive voters. At the same time, she hasn't made herself as available to the media as Pete Buttigieg has. I'll give you one example. I mean, we caught her in San Francisco on Friday. She was doing a major event there. Local media stood outside trying to speak to her, but when she came out, she rushed off. She had to go to another event and couldn't really speak to us. The next day, she tweeted how she was doing a walking tour with Jake Tapper of CNN in Oakland, which, a little ironic since, you know, the Oakland media was there on Friday night and she didn't really speak to them. I think that is kind of an issue that we're going to see up and down California. How accessible is she going to be? How many grassroots events is she going to do? I think California voters will be watching that. That's one of the issues when it comes to this campaign. There are a lot of choices now, and Kamala Harris has to deal with those other, 21 choices now.
But Carla, you know this is true about her from your years at the Chronicle, and all California media will say that this has been true, that the accessibility has been very limited at times with her.
Exactly, Beth. And I think this is where we're going to be watching, and California voters will be watching, because you're right. When she sits down with Jake Tapper and goes on a walking tour of Oakland with him and tweets it out, a lot of people are saying, well, we haven't seen that kind of accessibility here in California. This is a very strategic move by her in terms of trying to get that national press platform, but at the same time, that has been one of the criticisms of Kamala Harris, too cautious, too scripted in a lot of ways here in California. And I think her campaign will have to deal with that. Now it's going to get very tough and very competitive in some of these states. And, of course, a lot of people think she has California sort of locked up because she is the native daughter here, and you mentioned the early primary. I think that is not the case. A lot of people will tell you with the competition she's got here and the way the votes are doled out by congressional district proportionally, Kamala Harris does not have that much of an advantage in California, so she's going to have to fight hard for every congressional district.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Politico reporter Carla Marinucci, who is joining us from the Bay Area. So let's get back to Governor Newsom and that May revise. his revised budget announcement last week, which lasted more than 90 minutes.
Right.
Just a general question here. He's known for these long speeches. His original budget message, I think, went, 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
Do you think he needs these extended speeches to really explain the budget complexities and be as transparent as he wants to be?
You know, he says it right out front. I'm a policy wonk, and he said it at this event. This is twice a year I get to do what I love to do, which is go into the budget. This guy loves this stuff, and I think he wants to explain in detail where he's going. I mean, you have to give him credit on that, because I think a lot of elected officials would rather just throw it off to a staffer and do the headline kind of moment at a press conference. But he goes granular on it, and I think that's interesting. And what was interesting about this session, Beth, was how much he basically started out giving the same message that Jerry Brown has given us for years, which is, fiscally speaking, winter is coming. There's going to be a downturn, and that California has got to prepare for that. And I think a lot of progressives out there, listening to that, may be raising eyebrows. But the fact is, he's talking about there is a $21.5 billion surplus. There is a rainy day fund. But Newsom was talking about, started out from the top saying, but we're going to be paying down the debts and liabilities, and we're going to be socking more money into that rainy day fund. And that is a sort of centrist message that I think that the business community wanted to hear, certainly. And, watching Newsom at these things, he is really sort of a toggling between the progressive message of having a family-friendly budget, a budget that deals with homelessness, a budget that deals with health care, and at the same time isn't going to be blowing up when it comes to spending.
So he focused a lot on homelessness, and we know he's focusing on kids and family issues, and some of this quickly could be turning into law. I mean, some of his proposals are going to make it through the budget process. He thinks some of it, and maybe you agree, is groundbreaking, like his discussion of eviction.
I think the eviction issue was groundbreaking. This is an issue that has been for a long time on the radar of homelessness advocates, and it's been the subject of a Pulitzer Prize-winning book about how the eviction epidemic in this country has really created a number of issues for cities. It is black women with children, particularly, who once evicted from homes, sometimes for very minor things like dialing 911, they can never get back into a home. The security deposits, et cetera, make it just impossible. So Newsom was talking about not only dealing with this eviction thing, but spending $20 million in legal assistance for eviction prevention, which I think is something a lot of homeless advocates applauded. He's talking about $650 million in aid to local governments when it comes to homelessness emergency aid. And then there's a whole range of other services he's talking about, kind of whole person care services, mental health services. There's a lot of aspects to the homelessness crisis, and every major city in California is dealing with it. And he didn't shy away from it. He basically said, look, this is a tragedy in California, and we have got to deal with it. Whether he's going to get all this money in the end, whether it's going to be exactly, the kind of a huge outlay that he's talking about, but the bottom line is he's saying that mental illness is a big part of this issue, and we've got to spend money to deal with that as well. So that was one of the most interesting aspects of the budget. Eviction prevention is not something I think that many elected officials are talking about, and he was kind of ahead of the curve on that one.
He's going to be walking this very interesting place between state/local politics and the national political scene. And with the Democratic convention coming up and so many of the presidential hopefuls being there, he'll be there too. And don't you think that's exactly the place of the mix
yes.
that he wants?
Absolutely. You know, when a lot of people talk about Gavin Newsom, they say, what a lot of the things he's doing are really sort of laying the groundwork for a future run for president. You hear this all the time from people. The bottom line is he is a national figure. He's watching. Yes, he's going to be at that convention where national press will be all over it. Not only because, you're right, you've got at least 14 presidential candidates coming, but you've also got a major fight in the Democratic Party in California for who's going to be the next chairperson of the party. That's the person who will determine where a lot of the money goes and what the messaging is for the party coming up. So that issue is going to matter to Gavin Newsom as well. And you better believe he's going to be in the middle of the mix and going to a lot of those caucus meetings and getting his message out. And, of course, that's where a lot of the donors and players are in the party. So, yeah, this is a place where Gavin Newsom will be there.
Right.
And national media will be there to cover.
It's funny. We've talked more about him, for example, than Nancy Pelosi or Adam Schiff or any of the other national power brokers today. But I don't want to leave without talking about the fact that Adam Schiff was again all over the Sunday morning talk show cycle and heard on NPR's Morning Edition today. He continues to push for his release of the full unredacted Mueller report, asking the attorney general not to stand in the way. So let's listen to a little bit of Adam Schiff from this morning.
We want the underlying evidence and we want the full report so that we can do our oversight jobs. We don't want him to stand in the way of people like Don McGahn coming to testify and other witnesses as well. We don't want to be stonewalled.
I know there's the political national agenda, Carla, but because we're talking so much about everybody's peripheral vision in the political landscape, what do you think Adam Schiff is doing with the place and power he has right now?
Yeah, I mean, there is no question about it. Adam Schiff is sort of the tip of the spear for Democrats. They are watching him and watching his advocacy on this. And, of course, he's talking about how Don McGahn is going to testify. I think people are looking at him as a future, as having a definite future in national politics, and maybe that is U.S. Senate in California. Mm. He has talked about all the time. I've interviewed him in Sacramento, and I tell you, he is a rock star. People interrupt those interviews to get selfies with him. He has made himself known on national media and being the advocate for transparency on this issue. I think he is definitely giving Donald Trump a headache every day of the week. And I think he's going to be important when it comes to Democratic message in the 2020 race, when it comes to, the special counsel having Robert Mueller testify. So Adam Schiff is definitely probably the highest profile of California's House caucus. And I think, the guy that is going to maybe deliver what many Democrats want to see happen, that is the testimony up there on Capitol Hill.
Carla, it's always terrific to check in with you. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time today. I'm already looking forward to the next chat.
Always good to talk to you, Beth. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Politico's Carla Marinucci. She writes the California Playbook column. We'll post a link to her work, and we'll be back. This is Insight on Cap Radio.